Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to be speaking to everyone this morning here from the historic Clay County Courthouse at 100 Courthouse Square, Salina, Tennessee, with our weekly version of the Clay County Corner on WBFV-FM 101.5, Kicks Country. We're here every Thursday morning from 9 till about 10, and then we have a little rebroadcast this afternoon, I believe, at 6 o'clock. So if you're listening to us live and you hear something real interesting and you want to let your neighbors hear it, let them know that we're back on tonight at 6 o'clock. I have a number of great guests today, and we're going to get started with them just in a second here. But before we do that, we're going to take another, just a real short break, come back, and our first guest, Director of Schools, Jerry Strong, is here, and we're going to have a little discussion, talk about the current status of the Clay County school system. So we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country wants to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Daddy, when are you coming home?
It can be difficult being a service member called for duty. That's why there's the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. We help thousands of National Guard and Reserve members ensure their families are taken care of while they're away.
Daddy, you're home!
And when they return, we help with everything from job opportunities to financial planning. Learn more at yellowribbon.mil. A message from the Department of Defense.
Once again, we're back here live at the Clay County Courthouse. Director of Schools, Jerry Strong, is here with me this morning. But before I do start with him, I want to quickly mention that we have our answering machine here that you can call in at 43-5574 and put your name of a loved one with a birthday or anniversary in the list of names and be eligible to win a Dairy Queen ice cream cake. And these things are pretty good. So make sure you call in, 243-5574, and don't forget to speak slowly, clearly. Leave your name, the name of the celebrant, and telephone number, and speak real clearly and slowly, because this is a machine, and it can't say, excuse me, would you repeat that? But just make sure you speak nice and slowly. Right now, Jerry, let's talk about schools a little bit. And, of course, with any discussion, we want to start with the good. And I know by having some of the, we've had the principals on, we've had some students that have done some tremendous things. We've had coaches at various times during the past year. But why don't you give us just a little roundup of the good things we've got going on in Clay County?
Well, there's a number of good things we want to talk about. Let's start with our current events, and that would be our in-service for our teachers and our staff will be July 30th and 31st. That'll be here before you know it. And then the first full day, or the abbreviated day that we have, would be Tuesday, August the 4th. We run our buses. That's a required day that we have abbreviated day. That's required by the state. Some systems run buses and some do not. We choose to run buses, and that's kind of a dry run for what we're looking forward to this year. And the first full day will be Tuesday, August the 4th. Need to watch out for the school buses. Now, they've not been on the road now for a while, and we need to have everybody kind of understand that they're going to be out there. They'll be going slow, and some of them are going to be picking up in some strange places. We tried to avoid unsafe places, but nevertheless, we try to pick them up in the safest places that we know how, and we want to be people to be aware that those buses are out there. I remind everybody, don't run the stop signs. That's a dangerous thing, and we have people written citations each year for that. One of the most dangerous places we have is out here in front of the Happy Sack at the apartments. People, that's a divided area right there somewhat. People think that stop sign's out, and it doesn't affect them because the kids are not crossing the road. There's no guarantee that a kid's not going to be crossing the road. So,
a school bus stop sign means all lanes, whether it's two lanes or 22 lanes.
It does. We don't have to worry about that much here, but we do some now with the roads being a little bit better. But it means come to a stop. The bus drivers put their caution lights out, and they try to get people to slow down. They understand that people need to move on. They will put their caution out. They will check everything. They'll make sure everybody's slowing down. And if the kids are safe, and then the stop sign goes out, and that means, guys, you need to stop and let the kids cross the road and do the things they need to do to get safely on the bus. We need people's cooperation in that.
Okay, and it looks like we've got some things here that maybe some new things.
Well, we do. We have, and I think because of time restraints today, we may come back and visit this later on, but we have the opportunity now with a grant to do some truancy work to try to keep our kids in school, to get them graduated, doing some training in those areas. We have a career counseling grant through the Highlands Group, and then we have additional opportunities for industrial certifications for people. Also, we have our adult high school, adult education, assisting with our adult population, and we need to get people to involved in those programs. Those programs are there, and I'd like for some of the staff to come back and specifically talk about those
at a
later date.
That's what I was going to say, that each one of those programs has a point person, don't they, that can come in and really give us an in-depth.
They certainly do, and they have more knowledge than I do.
Well, that's
The other thing going before, that we need to do before school begins, if we need to get the children registered, people will be available to do that, and we need to have the shots and immunization, all of those things in place before school begins, if we can. I would like to go back just a moment and talk about the buses, because we're going to be talking about the finances of the school. One of the things that we're doing this year is we've lost, I think, seven drivers, either by quitting or retiring or something happening. I don't have the drivers to replace those on the routes. And the other thing we're trying to do is we're trying to save money by eliminating routes. By law, we cannot have a child on a bus over an hour and a half. But what we have tried to do, Thomas, is we tried to make the routes about an hour and 10 minutes. Now, because we can't get drivers and because of money issues, we're going to try to cut routes this year. That ride time on the bus is going to be closer to an hour and a half. You may see us start with four less routes this year in our school system. You may see us have to put one back. We need the parents to be patient because we're trying to do two or three things. One, safely get their children to school. The second, we're trying to operate in an economical fashion, and the third thing is we have to realize that we don't have the drivers that we once did to do. People who do not want these jobs.
So the days of the farmers working a couple hours in the morning and then a couple hours in the afternoon, like they were when you and I were in school, is probably
George Melton is retiring this year. He probably doesn't want his name mentioned on the radio, but he's retiring. He's been an excellent bus driver and an asset to the school system. And to my knowledge, that's the last full-time farmer that we've had that will be leaving as a bus driver.
Well, he's a gentleman farmer, and isn't there a distinction between a regular farmer and a gentleman farmer?
Well, we might not want to get into that.
Okay. Let's see, we've got some of these, I guess a little review of some of the things of the past year in our school system.
Well, let's talk a little bit about each school, and I prefer the principals do that. And again, we might try to get them back later on if we can.
They've all been great about coming up. I think they like to brag about what's going on.
They do. They're proud of
them. And I don't blame them.
I don't blame them. They're proud of their schools, and they should be, because there's some good things going on. From CCHS, test scores are up. The test scores are still embargoed. We really can't talk about them, but I want the world to know that CCHS is off the chart right now with their test scores. Miss White, her staff in her principal's office, and the teachers and the students, they're all reacting, and they're doing a great job. We're trying to introduce, through grants, this has been one of the rumors out there, that we were trying to get new tax dollars to use on a mechatronics class. But we do want to introduce a mechatronics class over. Mechatronics is teaching their students to work on robotics. That's coming into the Upper Cumberland. Those are job-ready situations for our kids, and we want to get them trained in those areas and get our kids in on the ground floor in an area that will give them careers and good-paying jobs. Another program that I have to brag about is our nursing program. Rhonda McCoy has done a fantastic job with our nursing program. We have kids, all of our kids are graduating, I think, in the last two or three years, having passed their CNA test that they have to have before they can work. And some of our kids that have, they've even tested out of, medical terminology is a course that they have to have in their nursing. Not an easy thing to get out of, and they're leaving, some of our kids are leaving that in high school behind because they're passing that. That's very important. We have a work-based learning developing at Clay County High School that will allow students to go out and work. And we don't have many industries here or businesses, but it's going to allow those guys to go out and do some things. And then I have to add, a football team made it to the playoffs last year. Congratulations to all of those kids and the coaches on what they accomplished. Basketball, boys basketball is in state tournament. The girls program is rebuilding right now, and the softball and baseball teams made it into the regions. So, you know, we've got some really good things going on, extracurricular activities for our students at Clay County High School. From Hermity Springs, all the grades, I can say this without breaking any rules, I think, all the grades, 3 through 8, except for one, showed improvement and success in the TCAP. The teachers there are improving their teaching strategies and working together to improve student learning. That's countywide. But Mr. Denton has really emphasized the teaching and the test scores this past year, and it's showing. So we're getting a good response there. Their Pee Wee girls finished runners-up in the James C. Hale State Basketball Tournament. The junior high boys finished runners-up in the TNT State Basketball Tournament. So the extracurricular activities there are doing well. The K-8 people say overall they've had a great year. They're very pleased with the success that school's going through. Their test scores are also on the rise. What we'll really notice a jump in is their literacy scores, and the building's getting a badly needed roof. It's going to quit leaking on the children's heads in that building. And the football and girls basketball team had excellent seasons. So a lot of positive things going on in our school.
Okay, let me throw one thing in, then we're going to have to take a little short break, and we'll come back and probably change gears a little bit, but I see, you know, the junior high boys down at Hermitage Springs finished runners-up, and our boys basketball team out here had a pretty Mark Eichlock, they put together a little combo team, kind of a little Upper Cumberland team that had kids from both Hermitage Springs and from Salina, and they qualified to play in the national tournament down in Atlanta, Georgia. And I think this is like a pool play type thing where you have so many teams in a pool, and they play, and then the first and second place team goes on to a final round of a big tournament. And I think they lost their first game by maybe 1 point on a foul shot after the buzzer had gone off or something or other. And then they proceeded to win, and they did finish, they finished second in their pool. And they made it to the top 16 teams in the nation for eighth grade boys.
That's excellent.
They were playing against teams from all over the country, North Carolina, South Carolina, Ohio, Indiana, Tennessee, Kentucky. But they made it to the top 16 and were very, very competitive with just a group of our local kids from here. I think we even maybe had one Macon County kid or two in there, but the most of the kids were from Clay County, and a tremendous job
Well, that's excellent. We have a great opportunity in the next few years. We have a bunch of fine athletes coming up, and that you're going to see that in basketball. You'll see it in golf. You're going to see it in football. So we've really got some good things to look forward to, and we're excited if we can get past our finances.
Yeah. Okay, but let's take a little short break and take care of our finances here at WVFB. They keep telling me that they have to have money to put this show on, so in order to do that, we get out and sell some advertising, and then we'll mention their names and their products on the air during this show. So let's take a little short break and do that right now.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closer. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter Paints dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter Paints, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have sent children into fits of rage.
I am responsible for a child's speech impediment.
I am the reason a child can't read.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
The Salina Merchants Association would like to remind everyone of the many shopping, entertainment, and recreational opportunities that exist in Clay County. Everything from down-home cooking to the finest jewelry and kayaking on the Obi to the latest handbags and accessories, rusty gold, vintage, and retro items, fine quality antiques, and handcrafted items. There are bluegrass jammers on the square, fishing and boating on the lake, our historic Clay County Courthouse, and the Clay County Museum of History, not to mention the everyday necessities such as groceries, hardware, lumber, auto, and mechanical parts, just to mention a few. The Salina Merchants Association reminds you to shop locally and play locally.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me.
We are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. We're still here at the corner. At Clay County Courthouse. Every once in a while you may hear a big truck go through or something else. Occasionally the emergency service folks will turn their sirens on just to let us know they're still on the job. But we're glad to be here this morning, and now we're going to enter into a pretty serious conversation with Director Strong, because I know there are all kinds of rumors floating around, and some may be true. So, as with most rumors, a lot of them aren't. Mr. Strong, you want to just start wherever you want to, and let's talk a little bit about what's going on right now.
Well, when you talk about school finance, you're talking about something that's very difficult for people to understand. And I'll honestly say I don't understand all aspects of it. The first thing we have to think of when we talk about our budget, that our budget has to be produced the way the state wants it produced. It has to be a uniform budget that's used statewide. So it's very hard to look at that document and sometimes figure out what you're looking at. But I wanted to talk this morning a little bit about the basics of what goes on. School finance begins with an understanding of where the school funding comes from. And our school funding comes from federal and state, but primarily it comes from the basic education program that we refer to as a BEP. The BEP that we receive from the state makes up over 75% of the school's total budget. The state does not pay for everything. On average, for every dollar the school board has to spend, 84 cents comes from the state, and the remaining 16 cents comes from local money. Now, that Thomas, that 84 cents moves up and down. Sometimes it might be 80, sometimes it might be 88, and the difference comes from local. It does move. That's not a hard and fast number. Another hard thing for people to understand is the component of school budget that we often speak of is a partially unfunded mandates. I've spoke for 3 years now about partially unfunded mandates and how they were killing our school. The state, and in a nutshell, the unfunded mandates are the state and federal government. They decide and tell us how to spend the money they're sending us. However, they do not furnish all the money. Simply put, they mandate that we spend the money in a particular way while only furnishing us part of the money, causing us to have to spend our local tax dollars to make up the difference.
On what they tell you to spend.
On what they tell us to spend. So where you're heading with that, out of our total budget, our board only controls, out of an $8.5 million budget, they only control some less than $3 million. The rest of it is money in and money out. And then, again, I hate to repeat it, but the state and federal tell us how to spend some of our local dollars as well. About 5 years ago, the mandated spending from the state caused our fund balance, and the fund balance is our operating money. That's where we live. To be spent at a much faster rate than the money coming in. We were going to go broke. To avoid financial ruin and avoid asking for a tax increase, the board chose to close Maple Grove School. Closing the school saved enough money to allow the school system to operate for a few years without any additional funding. But then here comes the Affordable Care Act, and the Affordable Care Act has absolutely destroyed us. Until the Affordable Care Act, only teachers were offered health care insurance. The school board paid 52% of the policy, and the teachers paid 48%. All employees, cooks, janitors, teacher assistants, etc., all those people make up what we refer to as the support staff or the non-certified. They only received a limited plan. And matter of fact, they didn't receive anything until a few years ago when Dr. Young was director. He introduced a limited plan that helped them some with their insurance or lack of insurance.
So that probably helped us a little bit right there, didn't it? That if we'd have had to go completely all at one time.
You know, it did help. It did help, and it helped our employees because they weren't getting anything at all. But the Affordable Care Act was still a big lick on us.
And we've known how long that was coming now. This was 3 years?
Yes. Oh, we have. I preached it. Ashley White, our finance director, and I have preached this all over the state. We've gone to legislators, senators, representatives and senators, and people high up in the Department of Education. We went to the Tennessee School Board Association. All of this to tell them that the partially unfunded mandates and the fact that Clay County does not generate enough revenue, you're going to break us. And it's just about happened. The Affordable Care Act demanded all employees be offered the same insurance. So the non-certified, all of them, they're now offered the same insurance that the teachers get. This has resulted in about 33 additional employees having to be offered the same insurance. The Affordable Care Act also demands the school board makes the insurance affordable. We started deductions for the insurance last November to meet the requirements of the federal government, and as of June 30th, 2015, this past June, the school board had spent over $190,000 for employee insurance. Annually now, at this moment in time, with the number of employees we have on the insurance, it will cost an additional $315,000. That's above what we were paying for insurance to begin with. So the school system, once again, is going broke.
Well, you know, I know that the insurance that you have, you know, at one time there was maybe companies that bid all over the state, and we, as teachers, we accepted whichever one we wanted, the one that won the bid. But then now do you have to locally pick out your own insurance from a group, or how does that work?
There's some flexibility there with what companies you go in, but pretty well it's fixed right now. And I really need Ashley or Beth sitting here right now to actually get into the nuts and bolts of that. There's some flexibility, but what the board used was a middle-of-the-road plan that would not damage the teachers, but it would help the non-certified get caught up. Now, this is an important point here. The board could have gone with a plan that would cost, at that time, would have cost about $70,000 less. The board opted to go with a plan that cost about $70,000 more, and that's part of the dispute. And they did that to protect the teachers, because here's the problem that we have. Other systems around us pay for most of the insurance. We were not. Other systems around us pay their teachers more in salary than we do. I'll give you, for instance, I had a young man that we were trying to nurture along to be a math teacher in a junior high this past year. He left us at Christmas. I was very angry about that because we invested a lot of time in him to get him ready to do a good job teaching. He happened to live over in Putnam County, and he ended up going to Monterey. I went down to see him. But you know, when it turned out, he makes $7,000 more a year in salary. And rather than paying 52% of his insurance, or having to pay 48% of his insurance, he's getting 80% of his insurance paid. How can you argue with that?
Yeah.
So our board simply decided we want to protect what we've got because they believe in educating their students in this county, and they wanted that neutral. Now, our board also knew, Thomas, that the impact this would have on taxes, and I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes.
Okay, let me, you know, the Affordable Care Act, it's kind of a misnomer. I know I've heard lots of folks talk about it, that a lot of this insurance is affordable to pay the premiums each month, but if you, God forbid, you happen to get sick, then there's a big upfront cost before you can get any type of medical care, and you're responsible for a much, much larger amount of your bill to begin with than you were under the old programs.
You are. Absolutely. And again, I wish the other guys were here. They could give details on that, how it's impacting everyone. But the bottom line is it's a huge, huge mandate on our school system that we really can't afford.
Okay, let's take a little short break. We've got a little breaking thought here maybe for a second. Let's take a little short commercial break, and we'll be back just in a moment.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. We will do our morning laps, walk our dogs around the block, pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
As an adult, you probably don't think much about vaccines, but the truth is, more adults than kids die every year from diseases that vaccines can prevent. Vaccines can prevent everything from flu to cancer. This is Dr. Bill Schaffner of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Vaccines are recommended throughout our lives to maintain our immunity. Staying up to date isn't as hard as you think. Visit adultvaccination.org for more information. That's adultvaccination.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I've given Mr. Strong long enough to catch his breath, and we're going to continue on We're talking about the finances and the unfunded mandates that the Clay County school system is faced with at this time. Thomas, I mentioned a few moments ago the mandates. Now, the mandates are required spending that we have to do. That comes from the state that's imposed on us, state and federal, that's imposed on us. That has now totaled over $800,000 in the past 5 years. The amount now has to be budgeted every year. That's not one-time money. That $800,000, that money that they're making us spend, has to be in every year's budget. So that's an increase in things. For that same 5 years, that frame of time, the school board has cut over $700,000 from the budget to avoid asking for a tax increase. So I want to make a point here. The board has done their part in trying to keep things in check. I told the board at that time when they cut the $700,000, if they cut any more, it was going to start to adversely affect education in Clay County. Well, the school board in the past few days has cut another $160,000 from the budget. Now the total cuts in the budget add up to over $860,000 in just the past 3 years. The education of our boys and girls is now being adversely affected. We can no longer, this board can no longer pay for the mandates with cuts in the budget. There will have to be new revenue. It's very important to note at this point that the school board did not cause this problem. The board has simply responded to what the state of Tennessee and the federal government has forced them to do. The problem we have in Clay County, Thomas, is not a spending problem. It's really not. It's a revenue problem. We don't have enough businesses generating sales tax dollars to fund what the state and federal government demands of us. That leaves the property tax or the wheel tax as a major funding source. County commissioners are understandably reluctant to approve any tax increase for the schools. People in Clay County are already paying a high property tax. We all know that. That's why the school board originally requested an additional tax be placed on the wheel tax to offset the cost of the insurance. The commission rejected that budget proposal, some of the commissioners saying they were saving the wheel tax to build a new jail. The board offered the commission a compromise on the second attempt to have a budget approved by reducing the amount they were asking for. This budget was also rejected. And that happened to be a 10-cent reduction in it. So we're asking for 20 cents on the property tax, and the board is going to eat the 10 cents. And that's that $160,000 in cuts I was talking about. We went ahead and did that. Well, here's where we're at. The school board realizes that it cannot ask the commission for any more than the last proposal. In other words, the school board cannot compromise anymore. It has to end here. With that in mind, the school board in the July meeting, by unanimous decision, said October 9, 2015, at 11:59 p.m. is the date to close schools until a budget is approved by the commission and accepted by the state of Tennessee.
And that is really just following, I guess, state law, isn't it, Mr. Strong, that the state money will cease to be forwarded to the trustee in Clay County if the budget's not approved.
That's correct. If we don't have an approved budget by the commission in Nashville by October 1, state funding will be cut off. I'll be notified sometime that week. That would happen October 1st. Sometime that week, we would be notified by the state that funding's been cut off. We chose October 9th as Friday night. We do have a home football game. Now, everything's not about sports, but our kids have invested time in preparation, you know, for the season, and that may be homecoming. So we said 11:59 that night is the time. That gets us past the homecoming that night, and then fall break is that next week, and so that was a good time to close. Now, I might add, you know, some people say, why did you open schools to begin with? Well, two or three reasons. The school board feels an obligation to have school if they can, and we had money to start school. That's one reason. Second reason is we've had some non-certified people that have not been employed this summer. And they've gone without a check. Well, they need to be working, and they need to be earning an income for their family. This will at least give them an opportunity to earn some income, and so we chose to start school.
I smile a little bit because I can remember folks talking about back in the old days when the county, I think the county commission or whoever, obligated money back in the old days.
teachers were given a warrant from them and saying that as soon as we get the money, we're going to pay you for your time taught. And I don't think that would fly today.
No, that won't fly today. My fear after October 9th, we may have some teachers jump on us now in fear of not being able to teach. And so I have a lot of concerns about all this. The board does, and the commission does, too.
I'm sure they all do. And we know that, of course, all the parents are extremely interested, worried and interested about the situation that's going on. But now, when you close the schools, that means all activities associated with the school are stopped at that point.
It does. Now, everybody needs to understand some of this is vague in the process. I have talked to our attorney, and then I've talked to CTAS, county task people that helped the commission. I've talked to Department of Education finance people about the process. The first part is for certain. If we do not have a budget in Nashville by October 1st, then sometime in a few days we'll be notified that the funding's been cut off and the school will have to close. After that, it gets a little bit fuzzy on what happens, but now this is my understanding. Essentially, we padlock all of our buildings. All extracurricular activities cease. Football games are forfeited. And as I say that, that's football season's going on. Those games are forfeited. And as a matter of fact, I think, and you may be familiar with this, I think under contract, if we forfeit a game or don't show up, we actually have to pay the other team a penalty.
Yes.
And that's maybe $500 to $1,000, depending on what the situation is. That's a number that I've heard. Any activities, meetings or anything like that at night, all that stops because essentially everybody goes home and we don't have the infrastructure, we don't have the people on the payroll to maintain the buildings or do those things. So everything comes to an end.
Well, Mr. Strong, I hope we've cleared up some things this morning. As I said, I think we have just opened up a bucket of worms that we'll put the lid on for a day or two, and hopefully that this will work out and. I think from your point of view, the board has compromised all they can compromise, and now the county commission is going to have to compromise.
Well, what's important for people to know, and I've said this all along, it's not the board's fault, and it's not the commission's fault, and we shouldn't be pointing fingers right now. We all need to understand what the problem is, and the problem, again, being redundant, the problem is we don't have the revenue to meet what the state's wanting us to do. And that's the problem. Now, we're having to pay the price. We don't need to have a war in this county over this. We need to have an understanding of what's going on and what has to happen. We don't want to close the schools, but we have no choice. The commission doesn't want a property tax increase. People obviously don't want that.
I don't either.
Yeah, I know. I don't either. And so we're all kind of left hung out to dry, and the Affordable Care Act is the straw that broke the camel's back.
In order to meet, you've got to have a meeting point, and we now have the meeting point, and hopefully this will work out, and won't have to close schools down, and we can do what we have to do, and move on, and do the best we can with what we've got to work with. I think I say that a bunch of times, and that's basically all we can do.
Well, it is, and we now's a good time to pray and hope for the best.
All right, and thank you once again for being here, and we definitely will be back again. And right now, I guess we need to take a little short break, and I want to bring my next guest on, Ms. Natalie Boone, who's going to talk a little bit about the EMT things. And right now, let's take a little short break.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
I'm Deidre Hall with a message about your eye health. My mother had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD, which means my family members are at greater risk.
I'm Dr. Sada of Doheny, UCLA. AMD is the most common cause of severe, irreversible vision loss in older adults. If a healthcare professional suspects AMD, a retina specialist can confirm the diagnosis and work with you on a treatment plan.
Routine eye care can help maintain your vision. Visit GetEyeSmart.org for more information.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
SSS.gov presents the world's easiest to-do list.
Done.
It's quick, it's simple, and it'll keep you out of trouble and eligible for great benefits. If you're a man turning 18, go to SSS.gov and register with the Selective Service System.
Done.
It's an easy way to keep the door open to great benefits, like college loans and government jobs. And it's the law. Go to SSS.gov and register now.
Done.
See, that was quick.
Okay, moving right along. I brought a couple of more folks in with us. I've got, like I said, Natalie's here. She's going to talk about the emergency situations we've had in the past month. But right now, I'll try to speak slowly and clearly, as I advise everyone else to, and announce our birthdays for this month. We have quite a few, and I'll just go through these. Bobby Smith, one of his family members called in and wanted to wish him a happy 55th. Birthday. Eric Copley, I think his mother called in. He's celebrating a third birthday. And then Grandma Charlene Brady called in and wanted to wish her granddaughter, Cassandra Beasley, a happy birthday. And we have Addison Bray celebrating a birthday this week, and Cherry Denton. And also we have twins celebrating birthday this week, and that is Tyler Strong and Taylor Strong. And I think maybe that was probably Granny Elizabeth that called that one in and wished them a happy birthday from the entire family. And then on, along the same line, Kenneth Walker's twin sister called in to wish him a happy birthday. So I guess we could probably wish her a happy birthday too, since they're twins. Maybe it was her birthday, but we'll wish her a happy birthday. And we will give them, one of them, a free Dairy Queen cake here just in a few minutes. We'll let one of the folks sitting here whip me out a number off the top of their head, and we'll choose them for a birthday cake, or we'll draw a name or come up with some fair method of distributing another birthday cake. And remember the number, 243-5574. Okay, Natalie, crank up and tell us what... We've had two or three things going on here in the last little bit.
It's been a very busy month for emergency services. I think right after we were here the last time, just a couple days after that, it might have even been the same day, we had a flash flood incident where we had quite a bit of road damage. We actually had Arcot Road that was closed off. It was damaged pretty bad. It was closed for a while. Highway Department has worked really hard trying to get that at least passable. For the time being, and they're monitoring that to make sure it doesn't get any worse and not going to have to be closed off again.
Yeah, I know Commissioner Browning was on last week, and we talked about that in depth.
He's done a wonderful job with all of this.
Okay, what else happened?
Well, last week, I think, my days are running together now, but July the 13th, we actually had a storm come through that produced an EF0 tornado that hit the Pea Ridge community, concentrated in the Ashlock community of Pea Ridge. Fortunately, no injuries or anything like that. That's always the most important thing. We did have some some homes that had some roof damage, some porch damage. Several barns had a boat storage that was completely destroyed. Lots of trees and power lines down, but the main thing, again, nobody was hurt.
EF0 don't mean nothing, does it?
Well, it's I don't have the list with me, but
75, I believe, up to 70.
80, 80, I think they 80. 80 the weather service came up Tuesday morning. They surveyed the damage. They confirmed it, an EF0, an estimated a peak wind of 80 miles an hour.
That's nearly an EF1, isn't it?
It is getting close. That was actually Clay County's first confirmed tornado.
How long we've been confirming, because it seemed like I can remember Murray Lloyd County, we maybe had a tornado to touch down here when we were children.
They started keeping records in 1950, and the Weather Service has said there certainly have been other tornadoes in Clay County in the past. It's just never, the Weather Service has never been called in to survey that damage.
I think that one was about 1948. I wasn't very old, but it's been a year or two ago, but I do remember, I think, about 1948. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
But no, that's, but they estimated that it actually touched down over in Cumberland County. Came through Ashlock. It had a path of 1.5 miles and was 100 yards wide, and it traveled 0.8 of a mile inside Clay County through Ashlock and lifted somewhere around Highway 53 is what they've estimated.
And that's kind of a different track, isn't it?
It is. It's
of our
a very different
came up the river.
Yes.
Okay, now what else we got going on?
Well, of course, I'm still trying to deal with aftermath of flood damage and storm damage, but where it's also time to start planning for our September 11th ceremony. I think I sent you an email yesterday.
Yes, you did. Our 9/11 cruise in.
Yes. So that's something that's very near and dear to my heart, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So we're in the process of working on that, get that going and rolling.
Yeah, I think that's one of our, I think all of our folks here in Clay County are really, really proud of that event. And I know the emergency folks, the fire departments, it gives them a chance to show off their equipment and their uniforms and blow their horns, people sitting in the fire engine. It's a great event here around. But it doesn't just happen, does it?
No, it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of people who put in a lot of hard work to make that happen. So, and without them, there's no way we could pull this off. So I greatly appreciate you and all the other folks that help plan in this and make this possible.
Okay. What else we got? We got anything else going on that we need to talk about a minute?
I hope that's it. I really hope that's it. It's, like I said, it's been a very, very busy month for emergency services, and they've done an outstanding job. The fire departments, law enforcement, EMS, they've all done an outstanding job dealing with and responding to all these weather situations.
We do come together and take care of each other.
We do.
Thanks, Natalie, and I'm going to take a little short break here, and then we will we'll come back here in just a few minutes with our next guest. But before you leave, right off the top of your head, give me a number between 1 and 10. All righty. I'm going to circle that. I ain't going to tell you who it is. But thank you. And someone just won a birthday cake, and we'll announce that here just in a few minutes. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country wants to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Welcome back, everyone. We have changed horses once again. Mary Lloyd Reno is here with us this morning, and she's going to talk a little bit about what's coming up here, I guess, about next week. Not this weekend, but the next weekend. We've got homecoming days right around the corner.
Right. July 30th, 31st, and August 1st, homecoming days will be going strong. The Clay County Museum is the sponsor of Homecoming Days, and it is the money we make from it is what operates the museum. And I just want to kind of run through our program right quick. Let me tell you this first. We've been doing, the museum has been doing the Homecoming Days for about 20-something years. Prior to that, it was the Merchants Association and the Fish Fry Group, but this is kind of, we were kind of an outgrowth. When everybody else quit, we just took it up.
We slipped the original Moonshine Days in there for a year or two.
Yeah, we did, and everything, and now they're trying to revive it back and everything.
Yeah.
But just to let you know a little what's going on so you know what to do, we do have schedules that will be around at all the merchants this week. I just got them fixed. Everything opens Thursday morning, and the first thing goes on Thursday morning is everybody setting up their booths and food things. They're starting to cook. The quilt show and everything here in the courthouse, Miss Dean Walden, they'll be accepting entries at 9 o'clock. Then from then till about the rest of the afternoon until 2 o'clock, everybody's just getting their food started, getting ready so they'll be ready for lunch. At 2 o'clock at the museum, we have the opening of Homecoming Days, and we call that the ringing of the bells. And we always, we've made it a policy several years ago to try to find an older person in the county who has committed to doing a lot of work in the county and this, that, or the other. And to this year, it's going to be Tom Mabry, who his family has always been involved in county business and everything. And so he's the one we're going to honor this year.
You and I'll be eligible for that maybe in 8 or 10 more years.
Only if I can quit being in charge of this thing. The next thing, at 5 o'clock, comes along Wenton does his lawnmower parade. Now, I don't know what he's going to do this year because I never know, but it's always a hoot. And it will be, they will start out at the Happy Sack, and it will come through town, and it will stop over in front of the antique, Town Square Antique, and he'll do his, whatever it is that he's going to do. And it's always a surprise, and it's always a good fun. Then at about 6:30, the cakewalk will get break off out on the other side of the square. And we hope to have lots of good cakes and pies and some other merchandise. We have a new band this year on Thursday night. It's called the Ten Sleep. And it is Tom Watson from up in the edge of Kentucky. He's been playing the women's building, I think, several times, and everybody's enjoying him.
Is that Tommy Red?
I don't know. It's just Tom Watson's all I know. I used to teach school up there.
Okay.
So is that him?
Yeah.
Okay, that's him.
He used to be girls basketball coach.
Well, Joanne said he used to teach her, so I guess that was...
Well,
I told her
everything
she,
can't be a success story.
That's what I told her. I said, well, you didn't have to tell me that. On Friday, the booths keep going on, the photography show, food booths. At 4 o'clock, we'll be having a living history set up over by the side of the Town Square Antiques in the vacant lot, which you may want to go over and talk with them because they have a lot of information that they can give you on the history and stuff, living history. At somewhere about 6 o'clock, or it kind of starts, it's the cow patty contest. We never know what the cattlemen are going to do or when they're going to get started, but that's when we kind of schedule it. And once they get the cattle, they sell all their tickets and get the cattle in the rink, then we have a short... The museum has a short auction, and we just have 3 or 4 things that we auction off. We usually auction off a set. I always donate my first Tennessee Titan tickets for the year, and we always have some good cakes and usually another object and stuff. And then the music after that is Southern Rain, and that's Kendall and his group. They've been doing Friday night for years for us now, and they play till they get tired. But then about that same time over in front of Jimmy White's office, the big marble tournament starts. And that's James and Junior B. Strong. And, you know, I've watched them play that 100 years, and I still don't figure out what they're going to do. I can't never figure out big marbles from little marbles.
It took me 100 years to figure out roly-holes.
Well, me and you both. Then on Saturday, the living history continues, and all of this is at 8 o'clock in the crafts. And out at the old high school, Johnny Brown has his car show, and Ronnie Wheeler has the antique tractor show.
And we're expecting a big crowd for that.
Yes, we are. We're expecting a big crowd. And I think the quilt show shuts down about noon, so everybody has to come pick up their stuff. And then they also have a children's pedal pool out there in front of the, on the sidewalk out there, where little kids can do stuff. And then from 1 to 4, we have music on the square, and it's all local. It's going to be all local talent. We just kind of, anybody wants to come sing, just let us know. We'll let you sing and everything. And I think everybody's really enjoyed the local talent as much as they have anything that we've had in a long time. And then at 2 o'clock is we give away the duck race money. And back to the cattlemen, now they give a $500 prize for whoever who has the most poop on their square. And they measure that stuff off, too. It's amazing to watch them.
Who's in charge of the measure? Randall in charge of the
Randall and, I don't know, Craig Ogletree's the president of the Cattlemen's Association, so I guess he, you would say he was supposed to be head honcho, but with Randall in there, I doubt it. No, I'm not going to say what you just had me to say. I'm not going to do that.
Okay, go
But that's the truth. And then we go up the river and put the ducks out about 2 o'clock, and when the first one to get to the bridge wins $1,000. And then, of course, there's still just music and stuff going on the square and everything, and then about 6:30 the Crossfire Band cranks up, and they play all night. And they've played for us for years, and everybody really likes them, and they draw a great big crowd. Now, you know, we hope the weather's good. We can't guarantee it, but I hope it'll be about 80 degrees and everything. And bring your lawn chairs with you so you can just sit back, because we've got shade trees here in the courthouse. Sometimes on the Saturday evening things, instead of singing over towards the bank, we've turned the stuff around where everybody can sit here under the shade and listen to the music and everything. So we just do that according to how the weather is.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to do away with formality.
Oh, yes, right.
Break into a casual celebration.
We're learning to do that and everything. And but it's we have a lot of different people and business that helps, are what we call major sponsors, which really help us put this on, which helps us to forward the museum, to move forward. We are in the process of trying to revamp the museum into a very people-friendly museum. When we first started, nobody knew what a museum is. They just said, bring stuff. And we're in the process of trying to identify everything we've got, what we've got. And we've got we've had state planners in from museum, state planners in from the state, and they've helped us. We've got a plan. But it's a slow process because all of us, all the board are all volunteers. So it kind of makes it... you know, I don't work down there all day long, but everybody thinks I ought to, you know. And but we get a lot done and everything, so it's just...
You know, the word volunteer...
That came when Sam Davis and all of them went to the Alamo, and that's about wore out. But, the museum couldn't operate if we wasn't a museum, because we couldn't pay a full salary for anybody to stay and everything.
Well, you know, we can't do that...
It's just like, we're like the school system. We just have a certain amount of money we make, and we have to live within our bounds and everything. So we just try to improve a little every year.
You know, and we know here at the courthouse, it would be great if we could have someone in here every day because, you know, I know you sit across the street occasionally, and there's hardly a day goes by that some couple got married here 50 years ago, doesn't come by, and would like to see the courthouse.
You know, every time I walk out and from over at maybe Johnny's, because I hang out over there when my nephew will let me, he'll give me free ice cream. I walk over and I talk to people, and if I'm here, I'll say, let them in and take them upstairs and let them look at everything, and they're just amazed because this is one of the oldest courthouses in the state now. We used to be one of the oldest, nearly the oldest one that was operating as it was originally founded, and it's something that we really want to hold on to.
Okay, and you just mentioned the magic word there a minute ago, ice cream. We're about to run out of time, and we need to give away an ice cream cake. And today's winner of the ice cream cake is Cherry Denton. So, Cherry, you need to come over by the chamber building and pick up your certificate and go over by the courthouse and get you one of those delicious Dairy Queen ice cream cakes.
You get the cake at the courthouse?
No, at the chamber.
Oh, okay.
The chamber. Oh, we can't keep a cake in the courthouse.
It'd be eat up, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Or melted, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't have time to melt. Well, once again, I guess we might ought to shut this show down again. And
I think they're loading the wagon up outside. So once again, you know, we have come to you live and in living color from the historic Clay County Courthouse, and we'll leave you with, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.